Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. Wake County School Superintendent Tony Tata has now been running the largest school system in the state for 7 months. He came to Wake County amid heated debate about student assignment and in the middle of the worst economic downturn in a generation that put tremendous budget pressure on state and local governments. Tata joined us this week to talk about the struggle to come up with an assignment plan and the release of new measures of the county's graduation rates and student performance under the standards of the No Child Left Behind Act. But first, we ask him how he is handling the budget cuts made by this year's General Assembly. Well, Superintendent Tata, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Great to be here, Chris. Thank you.
A lot to get to in a few minutes. I guess we should start with what's on people's minds these days as the school year comes around, the budget and how it affects the classroom. I guess, first of all, what are your overall thoughts about the budget decisions made this summer and how they'll affect Wake County?
Well, my budget decisions were to place teachers in classrooms as the first priority, and we were able to focus money and resources on teachers in classrooms so that we didn't cut a single teacher. I know there were other counties around the states that had a different approach, but my guidance was we will not impact teachers in classrooms. So we actually grew teachers this year in Wake County, and we grew 2,000 to 3,000 students, and we accordingly grew teachers, and we kept the teacher-student ratio the same. Also, we added some innovative programming inside of what was a very tough budget, where, depending upon the estimate, we cut $40 or $50 million from this budget, and held off another $30 million with some federal funding that we had left over. So, total, it's about a $70 million hit. And we added 7 new science, technology, engineering, and math schools, and we added 3 global networking schools, and we added language to every middle school throughout the county where that was not the case before. So, we held all pre-Ks in place as well, and those were not funded. And so we moved significant amounts of money under my direction to protect classrooms and teachers.
The cuts that were made, are those going to be felt in the schools, whether it's administrative or custodial, transportation?
Sure. I think first and foremost, every principal has had to give up some form of a clerical position. And of course, particularly in elementary school where you have 3 or 4 people in your front office and you're trying to run a building of 700 students, that's going to be felt hard because that's someone who served you directly, served every student, and those clerical positions are high-value positions. But given the choice between a teacher and a clerical position, I made the choice for a clerical position, and that was my decision, make no mistake about it. Same thing with the custodial positions. We are in the process of cutting contracts and reducing hours. I don't know that we'll cut any personnel from the custodial ranks, but that's the next board meeting. We will be discussing that. And let's not forget, right out of the gate, I want to say I cut 56 central office positions because that were not scheduled to be cut. And I said, if I'm going to cut clerks and custodians, I'm going to be cutting staffers out of central office as well. And the initial reaction was, wait, we've already done this for 2 years in Central. And I said, well, we're going to do it again because I cannot in good conscience cut schools without cutting Central office.
You mentioned that part of the cuts came from federal money that was federal stimulus money that was left over. When that money was granted, there was some controversy about whether or not it should be used. And a lot of school systems, I think, did the same thing. Does that mean that that money is probably, for the most part, gone and you can't take another year like this without getting into the classroom?
We've got a cliff of about $28 million that we know going into the budget cycle for this next year, which really starts now. I'm planning with my chief business officer, David Nieder, and my budget director, Terry Kimsey. We are going to do some significant sessions where we review every line item of the budget and find $28 million. And you know, we're also betting on the come that there's going to be a little bit of an uptick here. And you know, the last couple of days of the stock market doesn't look like that. But the initial indicators from the county are that the revenues are up slightly. So that's a positive sign. And I think if you know, the county was able to give its personnel a pay raise, they can probably find it in their budget to give the increase our per pupil spending, because if you hold us flat, which is better than a decrease, make no mistake about it, but we increase by 2,500 students, it's a net decrease in per pupil funding.
I was going to shift to a couple of indicators of performance that came out recently. One, the graduation rate at an all-time high. And then I think people also read about the annual yearly progress. A relatively small number of percentage of schools met that. What does that message send to the parents? Or what would you tell the parents who seem to see conflicting results?
Yeah, it's adequate yearly progress is the No Child Left Behind metric. And every year, the Bush administration several years ago set a standard to have all children by 2014 proficient. And, it's a noble standard. The achievability of that standard has been called into question. But every few years, the benchmarks, the targets raise against what you are evaluated. And this was one of those years. They practically doubled from, for example, I want to say having 47% of your elementary students proficient in reading to 88%. And so that was a pretty big step to take. And it's not that we didn't know it was coming, we did. And so we're accountable to that. And there's all these debates, should the federal government be involved in local education and so forth. And I don't think this is a time to talk about that. What I'm dealing with is reality, which is I have to comply with No Child Left Behind. Those are metrics against which we are evaluated. But the good news for Wake County is across the board in every subgroup, our performance has improved, to include our graduation rate, which is now, I want to say it was 80.2% this year. So 8 out of 10 students are graduating, and that's good. We want to get it above 90%. We want every student that comes in the system to graduate. And so we feel like we're a nationally competitive system. All of our schools are good schools. We have achieved high growth in many of our schools where you might not expect that. And so as you look at Wake County and our 165 schools, I think that we're moving in the right direction. And I've been in 120 of those schools. Yesterday, I put the pin in the 120th school on my map and on my wall. And we have great administrators, great teachers. I walk in classrooms in all these schools, and I see excellent instruction happening. And I know that we have some issues that we need to work on, and we're getting after them. And it's gonna take some time to turn the aircraft carrier and, of course, correct it. But we're gonna get there.
Up next, Tata addresses student assignment. Stay with us.